Okay, let's stop here. Let's see how well you've done so far. Gary, can you give me what you've written for esteem? So you're talking to someone who's, the way they work in life is they love achievement and success, and so you're talking to them as if they're going to start working with you and you're going to help them get that. What sort of words have you used there?
I've put down here, if you work with us, you will have taken a major, meaningful step towards your future success.
Yeah, so that's simple. They're the kind of people that love the feeling of success. The words they would use would be success. So if you work with us, you'll take the first major step in towards your future success. That would get to the person who thinks and feels in that way. Okay, let's have another go. Ian, got anything for control?
Only simply, you're being in control of your financial security.
Yeah, put you in control of financial security. I tell you, who here deals with small business owners amongst their client base? Yeah, one of the problems you might have, here's what I hear from you, which is really interesting to listen to. David, I want people who would just stop trying to do DIY financial planning. Just delegate the responsibility to me so I can be their financial planner. And I think, oh, that's interesting. So who do you want to do? Well, I love dealing with small business owners. Hold on a second. The whole purpose of most small business owners going into business is to be in total control of their life. That's why they go, because running a small business is like getting your head beaten in on a daily basis, right? Okay, I mean, it's like wanting to get your head beaten in from every possible angle. One of the key drivers for any person starting a small business is to be in control of their destiny. Am I close? So you're telling me that you want to try and persuade someone whose key driver is to be in control of their destiny to give up control to you? I don't think so. And you try and use those words and you're just not going to be effective as you could be. You'll waste years of your life. So you would work into the relationship, the communication, starting on your website, in your brochure, on your business cards. What we do is we work alongside controlling directors and help them gain control of their financial structure. And we educate and partner with you. Do you see the kind of language we're talking about here? It's a different kind of being. And they won't like the kind of thing which says, we'll help you be extremely successful. Well, you know, I'm in control of my destiny. I'm already successful. Okay, next one. Who wants to take on that one? David, you want to have a bash at that?
I didn't actually get one.
Okay. Belonging. Stuart. Yeah.
Join our team of fulfilled clients.
Join our
team of fulfilled clients.
Yeah. Anybody else? I like that one. Anybody else got anything for belonging?
Do you want to join a group of people who have a clear plan to achieve their goals in life? Then contact us.
Yeah. You want to be part of this community? We talked about Phil Calvert a couple of workshops back. He's formed IFA Life. Who's part of IFA Life? Why do you do that stuff? Why?
Feed off each other. Share ideas.
You want to be part of a group. You want to feel a sense of we're working together. We're sharing ideas together. Mutual support. That's the kind of feeling he wants to engender, isn't it? It's a great idea. And he's working your desire to be part of a community in a group and not to feel isolated. Very clever. You need to do the same thing for your clients. Last one, Andy N.
Meaning, isn't it? Will help you to ensure that you reach your true potential if you work with us.
Yeah. Okay. Your true potential. How does that connect with meaning? Want to expand that a little bit? Potential and meaning. Just link those two for me.
Something. What's meaning in life? What is the meaning of life? What's really important to them? How do they become fulfilled?
Yeah. So you have to find the words, potential, fulfilment, meaning, yeah? Go on, John.
I'm fine.
What have you got for yours? Meaning.
To understand the journey you're on.
To understand the journey you're on.
Yeah.
It's a bit more than being Gary successful. These are a different kind of people. They wouldn't buy into that. They would buy into this, and your people would. Do you see the difference? You need to be able to do all four of these, otherwise you're going to lose huge portions of your community before they've come anywhere near you, and you might want them on your on board. So you need to understand how to write like this. Copywriting. Okay, Peter, any thoughts on long copy, short copy?
Just a couple of...
Page 30.
Sorry?
I'm just going to page 30. Yep. Are we linked up here?
Let me just...
Whilst Peter's doing that... you on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, long copy, short copy. Dave said earlier about, they asked the question, kind of a trick question, how long should copy be? And the answer is, it's as long as it, it should be as long as it takes to get a result, to get the prospect to undertake your most wanted objective. Pick up the phone, fill in the form, subscribe, buy a product, whatever it is. And why is eBay up there? Well, sometimes there's arguments over this and over how long copy should be. If you follow this plan of defining the problem and making the wound feel, you know, hurt even more, and really amplifying all the issues before you start solving the problem, you can't do that in one paragraph. It takes time to do that. Now, two of the most successful websites in the world today are eBay and Amazon. Now, if they believe in short copy, we should do short copy. If they believe in long copy, we should do long copy. We should follow best practice. I know their product sales, but it's all purchases, whether they're products or services, are emotional decisions. And you might have an engineer say, engineers do not make emotional decisions. They're engineers, it's scientific. Well, that's baloney, because have you ever seen an engineer whose machine is broken down and is upset about it? That is pure emotion. So people make decisions based on emotions. Just a couple of examples. They're not the best examples. I just pulled off. I tried to find a financial product on eBay. I found a piggy bank. Okay. So what we've got here is just an example of a tin piggy bank. £1.75 starting bid. In fact, let's just make it more realistic by reducing the size of the page a little. There, you can see what it should look like. So here we go. There's an instant call to action there, I place your bid. And then we've got description, some oversized pictures. Want it now. Okay, we've got another call to action. That will just take you back up to the top. Lots of information and another call to action. And more information. And then why buy from us? So there's plenty of reasons why you should invest £1.75 in this piggy bank, or at least to start the bidding off. That's an example from eBay. By the way, if you do sell stuff on eBay, think about the emotion. When you're listing something, the person who's buying it wants to know everything there is to know about it. I recently bought a new guitar on eBay, an Ovation classical guitar. It's kind of a rare thing, but it's beautiful. Oh, it's lovely. I wanted to know everything there was to know about that guitar. I wanted to know about the person who had it, whose guitar it was, because if it came from a horrible place, I didn't want a scratched and messed up one. So when the person wrote stuff like, oh, it's been meticulously cared for and it hasn't been gigged and all those sorts of things, I think that's the one for me. So information is important. If I'm not interested in buying a guitar, who cares? You know, that's not the prospect. So here's another one. Amazon. Who buys from Amazon? Whoa, great, okay. So there you go, you can see the whole page now. 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It's on Dave's reading list of must reads. £7.66 is a pretty good price, isn't it? Right, so what have we got? Why is this long copy? Well, it's all different types of copy appealing to different types of people. You've got people that want data, and you've got people that want emotional stuff. And we've got plenty of data, how to buy it, and how many pages there are, 384 pages and so forth. And here we have the product description. There's probably about 300 words there, something like that. Then we go down further, more options. Customer reviews, otherwise known as testimonials, customer reviews, and then a few other bits and pieces. By the way, I'm actually scrolling my mouse. Thank you. I'm scrolling the mouse here. It's not against the law to get your web visitor to use the mouse scrolling button. You know, you can do that. It's disappointing when I see websites that have been created in a format that it is impossible to scroll down. They're limited to about 200 words that they can place on any page of a website. The big reason is, and we were having a discussion about this the other day, Dave said, well, why should you really have long copy rather than short copy? And the answer to that is, if this page said, want to read the testimonials, click here. Want to read the product description, click here. Every time you take someone to that position, you're asking them to make a choice. And what are the two choices? Do it or?
Exit.
Or exit, thank you. It's heavier, isn't it? Yeah, it's you either click ahead or you click on the back button on the cross. So you're forcing your prospect to make the decision. Now, if you can nurture and allow and lead your prospect who's reading this web copy through your copy from getting them, this person really understands me, to, I like this, this is interesting, keep reading. But if you split it over a number of pages, every time you're forcing them to make that decision of, is it interesting enough to carry on reading, or shall I click on the red cross? So that's why we do long copy. One important thing to do, again following Amazon and eBay, is titles, subtitles. And that, a lot of people scan read websites. People that are able to make quick decisions don't read everything. Allow them to get the best points by using subheadings and bulleted lists. That's, there we go. Is that good enough?
Brilliant. Now, picking up on that, if you turn to page 31, I'm going to strengthen Peter's comment even further.
Sorry, can I ask a question?
What's
an argument there for a one-page website?
An argument for or against?
For.
Yes. there is some of the most profitable websites, particularly in information marketing, i.e. how-to websites, are just one page long. They're just a single page, and you scroll, and you scroll, and you scroll, and you scroll. Maybe some of you have been on those websites.
Eben Pagan.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And in his other guys as David DeAndre.
Yeah, I mean, that's whose course I've been on.
Yeah.
2 years, Eben Pagan. And you go down, it's one page. This guy's $29 million turnover last year from home using one-page websites.
Yeah, nice home.
Sorry?
Nice home.
Yeah, nice home. Very nice home. He's the guy with the balcony over. Yeah.
Now, just to follow this up, this question, I don't think it's appropriate for a financial advisor in the position that you're in. Because remember why people go to your website, 9 times out of 10, it's the credibility check. And the credibility check comes from reading the homepage saying, yeah, this is the kind of person that I can work with. Quick check on the About Us page just to look at the ugly mugshots, and then potentially a Contact Us.
Yeah. Eben Pagan is doing a huge sales job where you've probably just bounced off some sort of email. You may never have heard of him before. And he needs this huge process to capture your, get to your problems, dig it deep, show you how it can be. He does. I've written sales copy material for a number of you before, which we'll bring into a future website, where I'll show you the process, the step-by-step process. It's almost a script that all the top marketeers and copywriters use. How to take you from the problem right through to, I cannot live without this service in my life. It's a different situation to what we're talking about with you, where you're not going to have that situation happen to you, where they're going to read through this huge sales process. He does it by videos. So he just goes video after video, and you just get sucked right in. And I sat there the other day, I was really stressed out and busy. I mean, I had a horrendous day with projects coming out my ears. I sat there and I cheated and I watched half-hour video in my lunch break. Okay? Half-hour video. Oh my goodness. And at the end of it, I wanted to watch another one. I went to the second one. And Sam said, what are you doing? I said, it's a great video. He said, you got projects, not projects. You're killing me over here. I said, it's a great video. He said, get off the video. And watch. You know, it was just so good. Yeah, and then he said, and here's what he does. Page 31. He uses link phrases. Now, Peter made a comment just now, and I would really hammer it home. Please don't assume because you write lovely things that people are going to read your words. They will scan your words, almost all of them. They just don't have the time or the energy to read all your stuff. So, first of all, you need to learn how to write hot headlines that grab them by the throat. And these are fairly crude headlines used by copywriters. But you need to learn how to use them. Just grab them. Secondly, use subheadings, as Peter said. Use who did I write copy for, and the whole story was in the subheadings. It was Andy. Blue subheadings, and if you only read the subheadings, you don't need to read any of the copy. The whole story is in the subheadings, from top to bottom of the page. You need to be able to write like that, where the whole story of what you have to say is just in subheadings. If they've never read another word, they could get the whole story and make a decision on the subheadings. You need to do that, because people don't read on the web, they scan. They scan. And people certainly don't read brochures. Which small business owner's got time to read your brochure, for goodness sake? They scan it. So you need to write scan. What do you think I mean by link phrases? And where do you think I use them on you?
Just keep you going, keep the attention going.
Yeah, who's got the IFA marketing manifesto here? Okay, how many pages is it? Wendy, how many pages?
72.
How many?
79.
79?
Yep.
Okay. Question, how does Dave Scarlett, apart from asking me to, and many of you read it before I ever asked you, get me to read 79 pages. Have a look at the bottom of each page. Tell me what I do there at the bottom of each page.
There's a link to the next page.
Okay, tell me why it's a link. How do you know it's a link? Okay, what else happens? What do I do that's different to the rest of the copy? It's a different colour. It says, please cast your attention here. I've got something important to tell you. What else do I do at the bottom of each page? Turn to one page, just one page. Have a look at example. It's time to study. What am I doing there that's been done to you ever since you were a child on TV?
Telling you a story.
Yeah, but how am I doing it on this page? What do I do to you? It's a cliffhanger. Yeah? You need to learn to write cliffhangers if you're going to write something more than a page long. Don't assume that I'm really so bored with life I've got nothing else to do but read your 3-page letter or your 7-page brochure, because, you know, it's really boring. But if you can learn to use link phrases and cliffhangers, and I've given you some examples there, I want you to take 2 minutes, 3 minutes, to see if you can write 3 cliffhangers in the box, empty box at the bottom. Of your own.
The masters of the cliffhangers. Yes. The newscasters at News at 10 and 9 o'clock news. They always work on cliffhangers. And along with that, are radio broadcasters. If you're driving home tonight, have the radio on and listen to whichever presenter it is, and they will give you cliffhangers. They will say, in a few moments, we're going to talk about this, and they only give you half the story, and you're compelled to listen on and not switch. So
So if you're going to have a website written, if you're going to write your own brochure or have someone do it for you, you need to learn this. All you want to do is rephrase what I've given you, do it. Okay, but right, I want to hear three good cliffhangers from you. So the smart ones open up the IFA Marketing Manifesto. Learn to write cliffhangers. See, this can apply to a letter. You're writing a client letter, and I tell you what this will really apply to, your boring reports, which just put the clients to sleep. Because they, you know, because they're full of stuff that's so tedious. But it's important. The question is, are they going to read it?
They don't want to read it. We don't want to read it. There's no point. Put it in the front. I've decided to just say brief message on the front of it.
Executive summary.
Keep reading.
Absolutely. Executive summary at the beginning. No, seriously, he's right. Executive summary at the beginning, one pager. Because they're really bored after that. But if you're going to write the report, which you are, then at least use subheadings and cliffhangers to keep them moving and keep them moving and keep them moving. Allow them to scan and get the gist. Okay, one more minute on this. Cliffhangers. I want to hand over to Peter in a minute to talk about social media. Okay, let's have a couple. And Gary, you have to go in about half an hour. So. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. We'll make sure it's all recorded. Right, let's have a couple. Nigel, a cliffhanger from you.
I don't know what you're looking for here, Deb, but discover the exciting way we advise our clients.
Okay.
That's a cliffhanger, or whether that's a phrase, or
yeah. How could he just tune that just a little bit to make it more of a? Is that the door keep going, or is that my imagination? No, it's a mouse. You're on the right track. I want you to just
discover the exciting way we advise our clients.
Could I put first a word of caution?
First, a word of caution. That's a great one.
Well, let me explain.
Let me explain is a good one.
Yeah.
I want you to work on discover and come back to you. Come then, Martin. And then Eric.
I wrote, in a few moments I'm going to tell you. I haven't filled in
okay.
a bit yet because I'm keeping myself on a cliffhanger as well.
I
have to take control of your future.
I mean, you could say...
the beginning of...
You could say an executive summary of a financial planning report, which you're going to charge £3,000 for. In a few moments, what I'd like to do is tell you why it's so important that we continue this conversation or we move towards this relationship. That's a cliffhanger. Right at the beginning of a report. In a few moments, I'm going to tell you why it's so important that we move into this relationship. In the meantime, what I'd like to do is quickly summarise what you've said. Bullet point. Now I want to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Okay, Eric.
Yeah, mine was very simple. It was just this to say, carry on reading if you would like to know more about it.
Yes. Yeah. If you want to know more, carry on reading. Yes. Well, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. One could have been a tiny bit more subtle about that. Go on then, Wendy.
I put some stuff down and then I sort of like changed my mind when you start talking about it.
Good.
But so now let me ask you, are you really ready to retire? That it wasn't the cliffhanger sort of end of it that we had.
Okay, so you might want to rework that, because that could be a really good cliffhanger. That could be a really good cliffhanger. It's just... Fred, do you want to try yours?
Have one
now. Well, you know, I think that first line could do it. Now ask yourself, are you ready to retire? ... Let's examine that. And you could continue that, Wendy, by saying, ask yourself, are you really ready to retire? ... let's examine that, dot, 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 okay, and then continue the rest of your letter, or report, or web copy. You want to take one, Paul?
Yeah, sure. I put turn the page to find out how this benefits you.
Okay, turn the page to find out how best benefits. How would you do that on a website? Yeah, click here to find out.
Oh,
okay. John, do you want to have a bash?
A word of caution, if you don't allow yourself to take control, you'll lose control.
Yeah. And what you do here, John, is you do something like this. You'd say, a word of caution, dot, 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 dot.
Doing nothing.
New line. If you don't do this, and the word of caution would be slightly bigger font and bolder. A word of caution, dot, dot, dot. And they go, what's wrong? If you don't do this and do that, yeah? But use cliffhangers in your letters, your web copy, your brochures particularly. Don't assume, because I'm on the first page of your brochure, I'm going to read pages 2 to 10, because I'm not. Because I'm so busy, and it's really boring anyway. But if you do cliffhangers and sub-phrases and subheadings, keep them moving. What's on the next page? See, and that's why this IFA was an IFA marketing manifesto. This took me forever to write this thing. Because I had to find a way of getting the cliffhangers in at a place where it made sense and always at the bottom. Okay? It's quite hard work. To get you to read to the next page and the next page. It was 79. Who wants to read 79 pages, for goodness sake? But you know what? Most people do. Most people do, because it's time to study what each of these factors mean and how to use them, dot, dot, dot. Yeah, I want to know what they mean. There are 9 reasons why you must focus your attention and energies on the selection. Well, yeah, what are they? Well, they're on the next page, aren't they? Do you need any more reasons than those? Well, I'll give you some, dot, dot, dot. And just keep on, yeah. And the difference is worth investing time and attention in. In what? Oh, right. Just take a look at an example of what I mean. Take a look at this. You look at, there's nothing there. Well, it's on the next page. Right? Just keep them going. Learn to write cliffhangers, subheadings. Good. I'm going to jump now. I was going to spend a lot of time on email marketing, but let me just summarise it, then we'll move to Peter, because he's going to go social marketing for the next hour, and then we'll stop and finish and wind up the day. Turn to page 35. Who here sends out regular weekly or monthly emails to their clients? Paul. Anybody else? Andy. Regular. Quarterly. If you're doing something quarterly, it's just a waste of time. Apart from sending them something that you've promised, which might be a quarterly summary of their portfolio, I'm talking about communicating in order to develop a relationship. Surely, isn't relationships what you are all about? Quality of relationship? Keeping them on your side, keeping you constantly at the top of their mind. None of you want ever to find out that they've given half the portfolio to someone else, and hopefully that doesn't happen to you, but it does happen. None of you ever want to find out that they gave you all their pension investment money, but in their £5 million turnover business, they did all the key man and the share double option share purchase protection with somebody else. You don't want to find out stories like that. And all that means is they were never at the top of their mind. Who here has ever had a client say, I didn't know you did that?
I was about to say that.
See? You have to own responsibility for that comment. It's our responsibility. We just didn't tell them. Why? Because we're not communicating. So email marketing is just a way of constantly dripping useful information, reminders, and communication and conversation towards your client. I use a blog. What's a blog? What's a blog?
New content for your website all the time.
Could be new content for your website, yes, that's discussion. What it creates. But what is it?
Discussion document.
It's a discussion document. What does the word actually mean? Blog.
Make a comment on something.
Where does it come from? What's
conversation
that?
From
Where did the word blog come from? I'm going to say somebody woke up. Oh, let's call it a blog. Was it? What does it mean?
I said, where did it come from? Where the internet?
It means my web log. My web log. My web log. It's a log of my life and my doings and happenings and thoughts on my web page. My web log. Blog. And it started off where people just wanted to talk. The democratization of communication, it's called. Where you're not sitting there saying, they're brilliant journalists, I'm reading their material, I'm waiting for them to write to me. All of a sudden you're saying, no, I'm going to do the writing, you listen to me. And that's how web blogging started. I'm going to be the journalist without training. I'm going to tell you what I think about today's news or today's politics. Now start listening to me, guys. And suddenly the power of that grabbed everybody across the globe, and these things started shooting across. And now there's billions every week going out as weblogs. Billions. Where people like you are telling the world, this is how I think and feel. And you can influence your market like that. All of my business comes from web logging. All of it. I just tell the world, this is what I think about this subject.
So a tweet is a blog as well, really?
A tweet is called a micro blog. Yeah. It's a micro web log. So I get used to email marketing. And here's a system that I use. I've used a number, and I'm going to use more later on. Page 35, it's a system called InTouch, and there are others equally as good. InTouch.
Do you pay for that, or is it?
I'm happy that, I mean, Peter is involved with this particular piece of software. Talk to Peter about this one. And I just use this, and I could use anything like Constant Contact. There's a whole range of them. AWeber, write that down, AWeber. Constant Contact, is that right, Peter?
That's right, yeah.
This system's called InTouch. I just happen to find it very easy to use. Peter will tell you about InTouch. There's a whole range of them, but there's some big ones used out there. Look what happens when I send them out. Within seconds, it tells me this. This is how many successfully reached their destination. This is how many bounced. That means something's wrong with that web address or that email address. It's not working today. This is how many actually opened it. By open it means they actually clicked on it to open it up. You know, you see a little email thing, you click on it and it opens it up. That's how many did that. If there's a link in there to my website or my blog. So this is an email, okay? So I send little emails, they click on it and go to my blog. Does that make sense? My blog is permanent, it will always be there, and my email is temporary, it will get deleted. With me? So I send out emails to lead them to my blog. My blog is run by software called WordPress. WordPress. Even I can use it. It's child stuff. You just type and it formats it all for you. It's brilliant. And it's free. It's free. And you put videos on it. And, well, you see my videos on my WordPress blog. You can put pictures, photos. But it's there all the time. And you can use it for business.
Yours is just an outward game blog, is it? There are sort of discussive blogs as well, aren't there? On the Beeble all the time. What do you think about such and such and
yeah, my
66 and all the rest?
I can get mine to be interactive if I want to. Yeah. So you can make comments, and on WordPress there's always a space for them to make a comment. Okay? Or you can start a conversation going. But I just want to make a comment, have a look at this, tell me what you think of this, have a look at this video, 3 minutes. The other day I did one on life planning. Remember that one? Some of you read that. Here's what I think about life planning. And I did it really. What's all this rubbish about life planning? Of course, all the life planners got really upset and angry. Okay, and I got about 300 people opening up and
going. I was going to say, how do you become a complaint?
Yes, yes, they can. Yeah, they can complain.
About an email,
if they think they've asked you to take them off, and you haven't done so, I mean, they should really unsubscribe themselves. And you haven't done so, they can complain. And they will do. And if you get too many complaints, they'll write to your internet service provider and they'll strike you off and you're dead. So this thing keeps an eye on that. And you can see that 3 unsubscribed from that one email. When I first had that happen to me, I went crying to people.
All the phones are me. What are they?
I can't play. I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not sending out any more emails. Sort of silence on the other end of the phone.
A complete 902 you've got to worry, David.
Yes, that's right. And the kind of, you hear in the silence, what a complete wally. He said, David, why are you whinging about the unsubscribe? They don't love me. He said, well, that's great, isn't it? You've just been teaching in the last workshop, alienate your non-clients. And now you come whinging to me about the unsubscribes. Okay, does that make sense? Peter, I'm going to jump a few pages and give you page 37 onwards.